Divinity and divine service. What is the Lord? What is the absolute truth? What is service to the absolute truth? We're reading this chapter because it contains very basic and important foundational instructions in the process of transcendental, becoming a transcendentalist and practicing Krishna consciousness. So, we're up to text number 10 now. If you're new here, if you haven't been here before, of course the texts are originally in the Devanagari script, the Sanskrit text, but we transliterate them into the Roman alphabet with a few extra diacritic marks, so that even if one cannot read Devanagari, can still read this text, read it and chant it, because these are mantras, they're all spiritually purified. So what I'll do is I'll say each word, a couple of words, and you say them after me, and then each pada, each line, we'll do like that, responsibly. I'll chant this text and read the English translation. I'll do the word for word, the English translation. And we brought us for fortune and discuss this. So let's begin. Canto 1, chapter 2, text number 10. You say after me. Kasya Nindya Pritir Labho Jiveta Javata Jivasya Jiksnasa Nato Yashya Seha Karmabhi Kamasya Nindriya Pritir Jiksnasa Nato Yascheva Karmabhi Asya Nindriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata
Namaste.
One should desire only a healthy life for self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The completely bewildered material civilization, that's the one we're living in, the completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed toward the fulfillment of desires in sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion, or even in salvation, the very same hint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. It's good for election time. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification, because the body is made of senses which also require a certain amount of satisfaction. There are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage, or the combination of a man with a woman, is necessary for progeny. But it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning, but foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. That's the next verse. From next week, we'll get the definition of what, here's a big fancy philosophical word, absolute truth, it'll be defined. So now we'll talk about this verse. Maham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namana Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaura Dhani Pachari Vishishya Sanyu Vali Pastracha Devi Satarani Om Angyana Himaram Dasya Ganandana Sarakaya Chakshuru Miritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Paramcha Kalpa Trivyascha Kripta Sindhu Vyeva Chakutitanam Pavanesiyo Vaishna Devyo Namos Namaha. Kamasya Nindriya Kriti Lābho jīvete yāvaka jīvasya tattva jignāsa nartho yascheva anumadehi. Our desires should not be for indriya priti, the satisfaction of the senses. How much are we allowed to satisfy the senses? Jiveta yavata, enough to stay alive, or to be healthy, to preserve yourself. What is the artha, the purpose, or the end of our life? What are we here for? Not indriya priti, not sense gratification, but tattva jignasa. So this word tattva is a term meaning the ultimate truth, the highest truth, or the absolute truth, tattva. And jignasa, inquiry. You may be familiar, some of you, with the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma jignasa. Now, therefore, there should be inquiry into Brahma. Another absolute truth. famous talk club. And you said, now therefore, well, now that you have become a human being, we are human beings, our real purpose in life is this inquiry into ultimate truth, the highest truth. That's our business. Nothing else, I'm saying here, nothing else should be really the gain of all occupational duties, everything we do, whatever our situation, whatever varna, ashram may be according to the Vedic system, whatever it is, but the jignasa, universal for everybody. This is the aim. So, as Prabhupada, my spiritual master, always said it like, he put it like this, he had a knack for putting things simply. Human life is meant for self-realization and not sense gratification. So when we look at the civilization around us, the completely bewildered material civilization, the aim is fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. What is the main goal of life for everybody? I'm an American. We're in America. Many people also want to become Americans. The duty of every American is to buy, is to be a consumer. You must know that the whole world economy is based on the sense gratification of Americans. If Americans stop spending only a little bit, the whole world economy collapses. Therefore, it is necessary for us to be as greedy as possible. This is our patriotic duty. Is to consume. This is the truth. So people are trained in consumption to get more, to buy more, and never to be satisfied. You've got a television set. You think you're happy? No, you're not. Because there are bigger screens. There's plasma TV. There's flat screen television. It's better and better. You get that, and then they have to come up with something new so you can buy more. Why does everybody need a car every 2 or 3 years? You know, the engineers, they could make a car that'll last your lifetime. They could do it, but they don't. You have to get more, buy more. You spend money on clothes. This year you bought a suit and the lapels are narrow. 2 years from now they say, oh, narrow lapels, you mean wide lapels? You have a narrow tie, your tie has to be wide, and it's worse for women. So people are really, already we have material desires. We our senses want to be satisfied. We put our senses in contact with objects. We feel pleasure. We feel satisfaction. And then we think, all I have to do is keep on doing this and I'll be happy. This is a mistake. Do you think it's common sense? Why do we think like this? Well, that's because the material world is called Maya. The truth is things are just the opposite of what we think they are. We think that this sense gratification leads to happiness. But actually, it leads to the opposite. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the 5th chapter, Yehi samsparasaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate, those pleasures which arise from the contact between the senses and the objects is in fact, are in fact the source of all suffering. Dukkha yamaya, evate, are dukkha yamaya, they cause suffering. So if we want to be happy, we should know this. Because we are gobbling up misery. So Bhagavatam calls this kind of pleasure that we get Maya Sukha. It is illusory happiness. It's the illusory advancement of civilization. People actually become more miserable. So you will notice here, Prabhupada says that the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth in every sphere of life, and that sort of engagement will make one happy. But we're not saying that people are supposed to be miserable. We understand everyone wants to be happy. The quarrel that devotees have with materialists is not over this issue. We all agree that we all want to become happy. But we want to point out to people that everything you are doing for happiness will only increase misery. We see that. Of course, when they look at us, they say, oh, you're not having any illicit sex, you're avoiding sex as much as possible, you don't eat steaks and chicken McNuggets, and you must be terribly miserable, you can't eat really lobsters, you can't eat all these really good things, you're missing out on everything. No sex, look at that. The world is full of beautiful people and you need not join it? What are you here for? No intoxication? No imported beer? No wine? No single malt scotch whiskey? What are you living for? Like that. You must want to be miserable. No, we don't want to be miserable, but they say, what do you do? You know? So we are also searching for happiness. So this has to be explained. Because if one is a candidate or wants to make progress in spiritual life, it's a fact that we have to become pessimistic about this material world. Pessimism is only realism. So why is it that all sense gratification leads to misery? It says in the Bhagavatam that a devotee is supposed to know this. Veda, dukkhatmatan, kama. He knows that the essence or the soul of all kama, material pleasure, is dukkha, suffering. And all these material pleasures is like a piece of candy that has poison in the middle. It tastes good at first, but then after the candy wears out, there's poison. This is depressing, isn't it? But we should know this. I don't mean that. The reason is very simple. First of all, you should notice that people are suffering. Sometimes we see on television the pictures of people in Africa, other parts of the world. Oh, they're really suffering. I'm lucky we don't suffer here. And they like to show us those pictures so we feel better about ourselves. But the fact of the matter is that the death rate here is exactly the same as it is in the worst part of Africa. It's 100%. Everyone is growing old. Everyone is becoming diseased and everyone is dying. It's terrible to see a picture of somebody lying out in the dirt dying. No, you get to be an American, you get to sit in a hospital, hooked up to machines, and paying the doctors $3,000 an hour to die. It's a much better way to die. It's dying. Miserable, whatever happens. Yeah. You can die the high-tech way or the low-tech way. It's dying. And we all are growing old. We all become diseased. We all want to put ourselves into relationships with things. We put ourselves into relationships with things so that we'll feel pleasure. And because of the force of time and material nature, those relationships become broken. You think you have security? See how secure whatever you own is in 100 years. It's all gone. It's all wiped out. It's just an illusion. I've got insurance policies. Yeah, you're worth more dead than alive. That's dangerous sometimes. So we do all these things to protect against misfortune, and disease, and death, and so on. We're fighting against material nature, and we're going to lose. Now, this would all be just depressing, except that the point is that we should understand that we're supposed to be doing something else and engaging in a useless fight. The more we become attached to the senses, to the sense objects and to the body, the more we suffer. Because the first thing that the Vedas teach us is that I am a spiritual being. I am an eternal being. Because I am an eternal being, I want eternal happiness. Happiness is not happiness unless it goes on without any end. Happiness is not really happiness unless it's free from all insecurities. So we try to create that situation. We try to make a situation where we can be securely happy without any disturbance. We are trying to do this in a place where everything is temporary. It won't work. We want to do this thing that belongs to us because we're spiritual. But we've identified ourselves with the material body. And this identification, see, we want to satisfy the self. That's natural. When we think the self is the body, we try to satisfy the self by satisfying the body. But it doesn't work. Everything, the body itself is temporary, everything in relationship to the body is temporary, and we are not satisfied. It's never enough. We are always unfulfilled in our happiness. So if I want to actually be successful, the lesson we are supposed to learn is that our purpose is something else, and that's what's called this tatvajnana, inquiry into the absolute truth. That if we direct our attention and effort into tatvajnana, we will understand the truth of ourselves. I made this statement, we are not these bodies. And so once I said that to somebody, he said, you're trying to tell me I'm not me. We have identified very fully with these material bodies, but actually we are spirit soul. And the soul is, when you say soul, people, what is that? The soul is not something that's beyond our experience. The soul is a very condition for our having any experiences whatsoever. Otherwise, this body is a machine that is made of material nature. Just right now, part of this machine are ears. These ears are registering sound. This microphone is also a machine, just like my ears, and it is registering sound. What's the difference? Here I am hearing. I am conscious of what my ears are hearing. This microphone, nobody's at home. There's no one there. It's just a piece of machinery. So that what's here is consciousness. You can take matter and you can get matter more and more complex, but it will never develop consciousness. Consciousness is something else. Consciousness is experience, the ability to undergo experiences. This consciousness comes from the soul. I understand people who are really materialistic and want to advance the cause of the illusory civilization want us to believe that there is no soul, that I am just a machine, and that somehow when this machine gets complicated enough, it develops consciousness as a kind of byproduct. But they want to say that there are structures of matter. Structures in matter means you can express it entirely in terms of numbers. You can weigh it, you can measure it, you can time it. Whatever it is, you can express it in terms of numbers. They want to say that in the beginning, these structures of matter were very simple. Then they began, for some reason, to become more and more complicated. Then at some point, when they became really complicated, then something else popped into existence, which is not just a structure of matter, but the experience of structures of matter. Now really, if that's all there is structures of matter, that's all you should get. It's just more complicated structures of matter. What is this other thing? The experience of the structures is not a structure of matter. Nobody can pin down consciousness. They may associate it with complicated structures. They may even make the complicated structure, but it is not a complicated structure. It's something else. That consciousness is a thing in itself. This is the spirit soul. What the Bhagavad Gita says is that there are structures of matter, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and others people not even know how to investigate yet, manas, buddhi, ahankara. That's one kind of energy. And then there are the souls, the jivas. And when these two come together, then the world is manifest. And both of these structures ultimately come, both of these things, the structures of matter, the eightfold separated energy, and the spiritual, both come from Krishna. So they are two separate things, spirit and matter. So this body is working, it is doing things because I, this experiencing spirit soul, am here. And right now I've identified myself with this material body. I think it's me. I think I'm male, I'm white, 61 years, 2 years old. All these things, this is me. It's not me. I'm not the body. I'm just riding in this body like I drive my car. And I will change bodies. So this is the first thing, that I understand what it means to say I'm not my body, I am the spirit soul. But we identify with the body. We think it is us. And this is the source of our suffering. Because then whatever happens to the body, I think happens to me. The spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna. This is all part of knowledge of tattva. The spirit soul is part and parcel of the supreme soul. Spirit means sat chit ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. That's what I am. But now, when I identify with the body is temporary. It is not eternal. It is not full of knowledge. I have some senses that can pick up a few things here. I don't see everything that there is, and I miss a lot and misunderstand a lot of things. And all the things I don't see, I guess about, and that's usually wrong. Or I'm misinformed. So I have no knowledge. Very flickering. And as far as bliss goes, that's a few cheap thrills. They last this long and they're over. What I think actually most of us in the material world, what we call happiness, is just the temporary absence of pain. This is not bliss. So my nature, I'm eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, but I identify with the body, so that when the body starts to grow old, I think, now I'm becoming decrepit. When the body becomes diseased, now I'm becoming ill, sick. Nothing is working. And when the body dies, now I think I'm being annihilated. I experience these things as happening to me. They're not. I'm fine. I have no problems, but I don't know who I am. This is Maya. I've forgotten who I am. So this identification of the self with the material body is the cause of this suffering. It's due to this ignorance of who we are, of what this world is. So as long as we are engaged, if our aim in life is to gratify the senses, what will happen is this identification of the self with the material body will become stronger and stronger and stronger. We will become more and more conditioned, and therefore we will not have any way out. When at the time of death we lose this body, we'll get another one. And again, it goes through the same thing. This is called mrityu samsara. On the cycle of repeated birth and death in the material world, this treadmill. So, but as human beings, we are dissatisfied with the temporary nature of things in this world. We are not satisfied. We become frustrated. Oh, if it's not this, it must be this. If it's not that, it must be this. $1 billion didn't make me happy, I must be true. This wife didn't make me happy, I must need another one. Always changing, looking for something and never finding it. This is the course of material civilization. People end up disappointed, sad, depressed, medicated to the gills, just to get through the day. So, what to do? Tattva-jignasa. We discover that if we turn our attention to the real business of the process of self-realization, we will discover that we will start to understand the beginnings of self-realization. Realization means experience. I will start to experience myself as a spiritual being. I will start to discover the real source of my happiness. That it does not lie in the external world, that actually my own nature is blissful. And especially as an individual soul, I have a relationship with the spirit soul, with the supreme soul, and out of that relationship comes unending happiness. I just have to discover who I really am. And so then we attain a state of happiness that it doesn't matter what is happening in the material world, we are satisfied. So this is what Bhagavatam is trying to teach us. So it says, life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification, because this is the path of misery. And you want to be altruistic, you want to help somebody. A lot of times we think altruism is giving people the facility for sense gratification. It is not. It's giving people the facility for self-realization. If we're helping them in their sense gratification, we're increasing their misery. Maybe we're helping them exchange one kind of misery for another kind of misery. But it's not helping them. So we should understand, first of all these things, welfare, work, philanthropy, they should go on, but we should understand what is people's real needs and what is their real benefit, and not their illusory benefit. Now, if we had put all our efforts, put our main effort of life from whatever we're doing into self-realization, into the spiritual path, what about everything else? No problem. You'll find that this world is filled with problems. And all our material efforts to solve these problems by material means creates further problems. The more we try to control material nature, the more deeply entangled we become in her complexities. We have an industrial civilization to solve so many problems, and now we've got to deal with global warming. Everybody's going to propose a technological fix so we can go on with our sense gratification. If they try a technological fix, I guarantee you it'll create another problem, bigger. We make one mistake, and we always try to solve it with another mistake. This is the way things are going in the material world. One should be a little pessimistic about this. But here it says, how much do we need to satisfy the senses? A healthy life. It doesn't mean that one should be deprived or starving or any of those things. No. The body should be healthy and taken care of because the body is useful for self-realization. Therefore, it should be taken care of. But only insofar as you need to take care of it. When you add more than you need, then it becomes the source of more trouble. But a simple life is now beyond our means. You want to drink just simple things like clean, fresh water. I just saw people buying water at the airport imported from Fiji. It used to be you could walk around America and there's a stream you could drink it. Who can do that? This simple thing of life, this is gone. How about fresh air? Oh, that's a big problem. How about just simple, clean, healthy food, free from contaminants? Where's that? Somehow or other, those simple things that everybody used to get, I mean, I've been in villages in the rural parts of Bengal, and you know, people don't have to walk more than 50 feet to get everything they need. There's clean water, there's plenty of fresh vegetables and fruits, everything is there. And they don't have a light, they don't want a light bulb. And some idiot wants to bring them progress. So pretty soon there'll be trucks coming, lorries coming in, and noise and grease and all. You know? What we call as progress is just the opposite. We don't know what progress is.
then we should make progress. But progress is progress on the spiritual platform. This is the wisdom here from Srimad Bhagavatam.
That says like this.
And people will actually become advanced, they'll become civilized, and if we solve this, our spiritual issues, it'll be very, very easy to deal with our material problems. Actually, all our material problems are just symptoms of our spiritual problems. And just like any doctor, they try to cure the symptom without treating the disease, the symptoms keep coming back. The disease is we do not know who we are, we do not know who God is, we do not know who other people are, we don't even know what this world are, we don't know what to do with our lives, and we're making a mess of everything. But it again, we reestablish our relationship with the Absolute Truth, with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and act in that relationship, you'll start to see all our material problems go away. There's plenty of food on this earth for everybody. Why are people starving here or there? Only because some people are taking more than their share. I tell you, if America just gave up meat eating, you watch it. There'd be such a surplus of food everywhere. And guess what would happen in America? Everybody would become healthier. You can automatically see that if people dedicate themselves to the principles of Krishna consciousness, and when we see advancement as the advancement in cleanliness, austerity, mercifulness, and truthfulness, so many problems will just go away. So we solve we deal with this real problem, then we can take care of everything else. If we ignore it, nothing else is going to work. So please, we should take this seriously and engage ourselves on this path of self-realization. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very, very easy for us. We engage our senses in the service of Krishna. That sense engagement begins with the most mischievous sense, which is the tongue. You ever hear talk radio? Everybody's got a talk, 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 talk. We should chant Hare Krishna. Engage the tongue in chanting Hare Krishna, discussions about Krishna consciousness. And engage the tongue in eating and feasting on Krishna prasada. This is the beginning of the purification of the senses. And in this way, we can easily start on this path of Tattva Jignasa, as recommended here. So if you keep coming every Sunday, and this will gradually lay out the whole path. As I said, the very next verse will explain very precisely what is meant by tattva. We're not engaged in mystification or obfuscation. We'll very clearly understand what is tattva, and then we'll understand what we do to get ourselves in relationship with the Absolute Truth and follow this process so that gradually, actually, the desires for sense gratification will go away. We will think, how did I ever like that? What ever made me think that was nice? Because we will have something much, much better. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. We have lots of announcements. Okay, a question.
Was that verse you quoted about this essence of sense gratification?
Veda Dukat Makan Kaman.
Veda?
Veda. Talking about a devotee, he knows. Veda means, in this case, he knows. Dukatmakan kaman. Of all kaman, sense enjoyment, material pleasure, the atma, atma kama, what's the essence of it, the soul of it, so to speak, is dukkha, suffering.
Veda
dukatmakan. Dukkha.
Dukkha Makam Kama. 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 27 and 28. I have to know it. I'll forget it in a little while. Veda Dukkha Makam Kama. Okay? Remember that. It's a good little thing. All sense gratification is at its core suffering, and it results in suffering. Thank you. Go ahead. Announcements. We have a Rath Yatra coming up, as you all know. This is the home stretch. We've got people in there, the kitchen cooking gulab jamuns for Lord Jagannath. So, really busy.
We'd like to thank the Nishir for sharing his knowledge with us on the scriptures. He'll be going away for about a month next week.
Yeah, not quite a month. Yeah, I'm leaving next Sunday. I have to trip to part of my GDC duties to Germany, to Italy, where it's not a vacation, it's more meetings, and then to Vrindavan also for some more meetings. I'll be back on October 19th.
I'd like to wish you a safe journey.
Thank you. Good.
Let's see if we can go down the round of applause. I'd like to welcome anybody who's here visiting us for the first time. And if you are here for the first time, there's a book table right outside. Please stop by the book table and take a book. It's a gift from us to you. These books are written by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He's the guru of this time. So please stop by, leave your name, or if you have any questions, you can ask those questions at the book table as well. I'd like to announce the Sunday Feast sponsors for this evening. We have two of them. Karnik Verma. Okay, please come forward. We have some prasadam for you.
Thank you. Mahaprasada, can you come in close? Yeah, I don't know if it'll fit, but you can take it with you.
And Deepak Gupta? Is Deepak in? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Deepak Gupta, also for stopping with this. I'd like to invite Regent Money for moving forward and an announcement.
Hare Krishna. Just a quick announcement that after all the busyness of Rath Yatra this coming weekend, next Saturday, the following week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'll be offering a course here in the, well actually it will probably be held in the schoolhouse, the building just next to the temple. There was actually quite a good turnout when the same thing just before Radhashtami, we had a course on some of Rupa Goswami's poetry. This will be a course entitled Spiritual Advancement Through Vaishnava Association, a look at Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25 with the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a particular verse which outlines the whole progression from the very beginning stages of faith and devotional service up to the ultimate culmination of pure love for Krishna. And how that takes place and how that happens through the association of devotees. All of us that are coming here, we're all making advancements through being able to come into each other's association and worship Krishna. So this will give us the tips on how to do that in the most effective way to make the most spiritual advancements. This flyer will be posted on the bulletin board just outside the temple room. My number is on the flyer if there are any questions. But please, if you are available and are interested and would like something to do that involves more sitting than walking around and running around, as the Rath Yatra will be filled with, please try to keep your calendars free. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, September 25th, 27th, and 29th. And that will be in the evening at 7:15, just after the evening RSVP is off. So please welcome everyone who'd like to come. Thank you very much.
The events that are happening this week. Tomorrow is the Odyssey, which is the day where it's recommended that we fast from beans and grains. On Friday evening, at 1408 South Street, where the Govinda's Gourmet Go restaurant is, actually right next door where the old Govinda's Gourmet Go used to be, there's going to be a satsang, a program there. His Holiness Satru Maharaj is going to be there, giving a lecture and also the kirtan and prasadam and stuff. So anybody who's interested, please go. It'll begin at 6 o'clock. And then we have a Rathi Yatra announcement. Thank you, Mother Shingha Dapa Guru.
So, this Saturday, as many of you know, the Rathi Yatra is coming up. And the Srila Prabhupada said that all our preaching will be successful if we can do this Rathi Yatra. We need your help. It's coming down to the last few moments, few days. We still need help Friday here at the temple. There's a clashing with a program down in South Street, but we'll need help where cooking and cutting vegetables, stringing flowers, Friday beginning at 5 o'clock. We'll need help Saturday morning at Eakins Oval, which is right in front of the Art Museum, to set up the program. We'll need help at 7 o'clock at the end of the program to clean up and to break down the festival. Very important. And also we'll need help, your presence to chant, dance, and worship Lord Jagannath with us, and take a shot as well. So please put that on your, if you can, please do that. I think our budget is coming in. We have two paintings that are being auctioned. What's the
auction right now? The Radha Krishna painting has the highest bid at $547. And our Gopal Krishna, the larger picture, is at 551. So between now and 7 o'clock, if anyone else would like to place your bid for the beautiful Shiklay painting, please come to see me at the front of the temple in the lobby. And at 7 o'clock, we will have our winner, our highest bidder.
For the silent auction for the two paintings. Thank you.
This is for Rathi Yatra, of course.
Okay. If anyone would like to also make a donation just for the Rathi Yatra, there's, I think our budget is 36 and we're about hovering around 30, 31. So we're down a little bit. Hopefully we'll be able to make it.
Well, one thing is, right now, this week, we have all of our bills due. So it's really important. Up until now, it was just something we had to do. But now we have to pay all the people who are helping. So anyone who hasn't had that opportunity to serve in that capacity, please.
I've
seen
me
on fire, and let us know this evening. Thank you.
In the office there. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Ben. Thank you, Mr. Ben.
Yeah.
We'll serve for Shalom now. Out back. At 7:30, we'll come back here, and there'll be RT and Kirtan. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's kind of